everyone, and welcome to Psychic Sandbox, live on Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, weekly on Thursdays from 1 to 2 p.m. This is your opportunity to listen live with host psychic medium Cindy Leacock of Spirit Messages. Playfully and joyfully, the Psychic Sandbox radio show offers tools to expand your approaches to tapping into sacred energy and psychic experiences. Share your exciting experiences on air, get psychic medium readings, or win prizes. Just a gentle reminder today that Cindy will not be taking callers on the air, but make sure to stay tuned to her upcoming shows when she will be taking callers and offering amazing prizes. I'd like to welcome your host, Cindy Leacock. And Cindy, let's kind of get started with how did you get into being psychic? Where did you start that process? What was your beginning stages of that?
Oh, hi, everyone. I have been interested in being psychic since I was 10. I found an incredible book at the library called The Trouble with Jenny's Ear, and I read it over and over again. It was about a little girl named Jenny, and she could hear what everybody was thinking. So she went on a quiz show, and really that has led to my love of reading ever since. I was just so excited to even have the concept that you could hear what somebody else's thoughts were. And then when I got into high school, I was really influenced by the psychic Ruth Montgomery. She had a number of books out, very approachable, easy to read. I understood more that it was real, that it was something people could really do. But at that time, it was rare, at least in the United States. And I only ever knew of one other psychic, and her name was I'm blanking on her. She predicted the death of John F. Kennedy. And do you remember her name, Courtney? I'm just blanking on her name. Anyway, there was another psychic, and I was really, really impressed by her that she could do that. Of course, it was a horrible tragedy. But then when I went into college, I had a neighbor. And she did tarot readings, and she did one for me that predicted the breakup of a relationship that I had absolutely no idea was going to break up. And it made such a huge impression on me that I really trusted, you know, a tarot reading from then on, and I was just fascinated by it. I tried it a few times with her cards myself, but I didn't really get into it as far as doing them myself. But then I discovered a book called The I Ching. And for those of you who aren't familiar with the I Ching originated in China, and it is part of the Taoism movement. And it's so old that they don't know when it was written. It was written by somebody who was what I would call an ascended master. So incredibly brilliant, with so much insight into what it takes to act with a sacred intent. And I began to ask the I Ching on a daily basis about my situation in life, actually as my relationship was breaking up. And it helped me. Every time I would get a reading, it would perfectly describe all the aspects of the situation I was in. And then it would tell me like four different ways I could handle it. One of them was the way of the inferior man, and they didn't have any women in there. The other way was the way of the superior man. And then there were just some other ideas of things you could do to make the situation better. So I understood innately that the I Ching was constantly helping me to understand how to develop my character. And if I wanted to be superior in the situation, I would do this or that. So I used the I Ching for a couple of years, and the I Ching led me into meditation. There's a whole section in the I Ching about meditation. And so I was still in college. I went and signed up to get a transcendental meditation mantra. And I worked with that mantra through that, and then I started medical school. And I was meditating and doing mantra, using the I Ching, and suddenly there was this huge shift in my life. And it was a choice, and I could feel it so intensely at that time. Was I going to lead a spiritually oriented life, or was I going to lead a life looking for career, fame, and money? Because my attitude toward medical school was not a good one. And I really loved the I Ching and meditation and that whole aspect of my life. So I quit medical school and I moved into a meditation community. It was an ashram here in Ann Arbor, Michigan. And I lived there for 4 years. And while I was there, I learned to be an astrologer. And that was how I put into effect my psychic abilities for the first time. Because while I was reading the chart, I would receive psychic information about what was happening for that individual on a larger scale. And my entire orientation toward all psychic activity is they are spiritual readings. So if I do a reading, whether it's a psychic reading, an I Ching reading, an astrology reading, or a mediumship reading, it is for our evolution to spirit, our evolution to a higher frequency, to divine love, however you want to put it. So now I practice being a psychic. I don't do astrology anymore. And I have been trained for a number of years in being a medium. And my mediumship really took off when I was mentored by the internationally famous Lisa Williams. She mentored me for a year. She listened to all my readings. She would give me feedback on them. What she basically did was refine the technique of the way I was giving information to people, as well as how I could go deeper and get more heartfelt, important information for somebody that they really care about. It's like hitting their sweet spot. In any reading you do, you want to always really hit the sweet spot of what that person really wants to know. And so then I felt so much more confident in going ahead with a formal business as a psychic medium. And now I just get booked through my website. I don't attend fairs or anything like that. I just take bookings through my website, and I just love my work.
You have a very interesting background. It seems like you've learned so many different things over the years. What gave you the courage to go out independently? I know most psychics kind of start off with working underneath someone or another business. It sounds like you just, you know, really wanted to take your independence and roll with that. So what made you take that approach?
Well, I have a really close relationship with my sister, and she was always very supportive of me. And I began by telling you that I had that relationship breakup, and I was really searching about ways to handle things because I hadn't developed good skills yet with communication or problem solving. I was really young. And so I could tell her, you know, I learned this I Ching, and I could explain to her about what I was learning about it. And she, no matter how she felt about that personally, she would always be willing to listen and say, oh, that's interesting, or I'm, you know, glad you did that. She never got into it herself, but she was always there for me. And I think whenever you're a developing psychic or a developing medium, whatever your gift is, if you have a person in your life that is there for you no matter what you are into, you can go with it. And that was my sister.
Awesome. Let's talk about Psychic Sandbox. You know, what encouraged you to decide to take your gifts and bring them to radio?
Well, it's my service to others. I, again, in terms of building my character, my spiritual growth, I'm always looking at ways to volunteer. And this is another way to volunteer some of my experience, things I've learned, and try to help others so that we sort of have a, you know, long line of people who can pass on different ideas to other people. My concern was that we hardly have anywhere where we can just go and be ourselves. And like I said, you know, we're still in that period of time where we're developing as a country in terms of accepting being psychic. And in England, it's absolutely accepted. It's if you go to a psychic, that's more accepted than if you go to a therapist. So it's that long of a history there. But here, still people have, you know, not such a positive attitude all the time. So anyway, I wanted a place where people could listen on the radio to learn about different psychic methods, give examples, how do I get to start off seeing psychically? And you know, and I know that there's a lot of methods and unique tools and things that we all use. And I just thought I'd take time to play with them in the sandbox. And of course, the sand represents divine energy. And there's an unlimited amount of sand. There's an unlimited amount of divine energy. So we pull it into the sandbox and we play. You know, we raise our vibration using different techniques. We absolutely start to build self-confidence that what we're experiencing is normal. I think that is one of the biggest obstacles right now to people feeling that they can raise their vibration and then express themselves, because so many people are doing it. I mean, you've talked on the radio with people about how competitive it's getting because there's so many psychic mediums now. It's really getting popular. And don't you think so?
Yeah, you know, there's lots of psychics and mediums out there, you know, now as opposed to 10 years ago or 20 years ago. It's almost like there's been a sort of movement for everybody to kind of rise to the surface. And of course, you get the good and you also get the bad, but there's a more of an openness to it as well.
Right, exactly. And that's what I wanted, you know, to share with just anybody who tuned in, that openness, that playfulness. And I thought of the name of the woman. Her name was Jean Dixon. That was the psychic that Kay's assassination. But anyway, so the sandbox obviously is an allegory. And we, you know, for example, you take a pail and you fill it with sand. So how, you know, what is the method we use to fill ourselves up with divine energy? Well, you and I both know we have all kinds of visualizations we use. There's exercises you can do. And I'd like to share some of those with the audience. I'd like our listeners to know, how do I tap into that divine energy? How do I fill myself with that? Because we, in order to be a good psychic or a good medium, you have to raise your vibration up with that light, with that energy. So every single week, I'll go over a different method or two, and then the last half of the show, we'll either do psychic readings or do little contests for prizes and gifts, and always there'll be a free reading given as a gift. So I really hope people will tune in and get excited about learning and trying it on their own, and also looking into different ideas that I'll put on the blog, different books, so that they can find their own methods. I know for me that it took me a long time to sort out what worked for me. It ended up being first the I Ching and astrology, but then astrology fell away, and then just pure psychic and mediumship came and developed. So you need different things at different times. You know, people have different needs from even within themselves, much less trying to determine what somebody else needs. So it's a good time.
That's totally true. And I think what's very interesting about your show dynamic is that you're willing to put out there, you know, the things that you've learned and the experiences you've had, but to also teach the listeners. I don't think that a lot of people actually do that. There's kind of that cliche of what I know is what I know, and I have to keep what I know. So it's very interesting that you're taking a completely different approach, and I think that's what makes your show so grand.
Thanks. I really appreciate that. For me, it's really fun because I loved it. I was a math tutor for a couple of years, and it's just so fun to be able to pass along exciting ideas and see somebody else get really excited about it too. The first two techniques I'm going to teach next week are some of my favorites. And so I'm really hoping to get some blog feedback about how that works for other people. Because like I said, people catch on fire with different things, and I'm just interested to see what they'll like. Also, it'll be really interesting for people to put up their own little exercise that they use or a method that they've gotten from their sacred texts or their temple or wherever they worship, because all of those, all different religions and cultures all have ways they use to increase their divine vibrations. And, you know, I only know a few of them, and I'm sure that by sharing our ideas, that we are going to become more tolerant, not only tolerant, but just really have a lot more fun, because we don't have to worry about the barriers. We're all kids at recess, you know, having a cup of pop and, you know, sitting with our legs up, just having fun in the sandbox. It's recess. You know, we really need recess right now. I know I do.
That's a really good way to look at it, too, is recess.
For an hour, you don't have to listen or hear about anything else.
Let's talk a little bit about your psychic capabilities, because I'm sure the listeners are really interested. So you talk about being a psychic and a medium. You know, what does that entail? What is that like for you? What type of messages do you deliver? Because I think that there's such a misunderstanding about what a psychic is as opposed to what a medium is, you know, as opposed to what a tarot reader is and so forth. So would you like to talk a little bit about what your capabilities are and what that is for you?
I love that question, and I'll tell you why. Before, you know, like when I was reading about these things when I was young, I had no idea, first of all, that I could do it, and second of all, what the heck they were doing differently. You know, how could they do that? And so I love to share this idea because it took me a long time to sort it out. First of all, a medium is able to vibrate mentally and psychically at a higher level than anybody that reads psychically. So the mediumship is the most difficult. And what you do, and I think what happened inside me was the meditation all those years. I think that eventually, you know, in my use of mantra and meditation, that eventually I just began to see and hear at a higher vibration. And that's all it is, and anybody can do that. Anybody can raise their vibration. You just have to learn the techniques and the methods and do it for a while. I mean, pretty consistently for over a number of years. So a medium has the highest vibration. And when you're going to, with a soul on the other side, it's like they're on the fifth floor, and you're on the third floor, and you're going to meet at the fourth floor. And so they have to lower their vibration a little bit, and you have to raise yours. So I just read a really interesting thing that people can usually hold a contact for a good, you know, 7 minutes, who are just starting out with mediumship. That's a pretty standard way of thinking about it. If you can hold that for 7 minutes, you're really making it. That's really doing well. So let's talk about being psychic. So there are so many incremental levels of being psychic. And first, let's start with the bottom on this one. Let's start with the person that's just starting to explore a psychic tool. Let's start with tarot, because that's really common, lots of fun. People just, you know, you'll see them at fairs. It's really easy to relate to. So I have a really close friend who's a tarot reader, and she started just, you know, looking at the cards, and then she'd resonate. So again, with the frequency, with the vibration of the person that she's reading for, she's resonating with what does this mean for that person. And then you kind of automatically say it. It's like you don't even think to say it. It just comes out of you. You say, oh, you're pregnant, and you don't even know that you're about to say that yourself. I've had that experience, but I've also had the experience where I've had to look at a tarot card and go, wow, I do not get this with what's going on. And then I'll reach up to my spirit guide, is someone at the highest level of vibration along with the people on the other side, spirit guides live in spirit. And I'll say to my spirit guide, I do not understand this. And then I'll get a picture or a word or some kind of indication of what is really going on with that person. So the tarot is more like a crystal ball, you know, where you stare at something. It gives you lots of good information about what it's about, but it doesn't give you the specifics about the person that you're reading for. So where the psychic ability comes in is when you go to a tarot reader, are they able to look at a card, feel your aura, and just bam, they just know exactly what's going on with you. Now that is a really good psychic tarot reader. And we all wish we could all meet them all the time. They are able to look at the cards, and they use the cards as a tool. It's not what they could read to you psychically without it, but that's what they use to stay focused and to make sure they get all the information. So my abilities, first of all, I've used almost every single thing I've ever done. It was for my own spiritual, you know, growth, my own spiritual growth. That's, you know, I just kept wanting to be a better person, you know, build my character, try to do things right, you know, do the will of God. And so when things started to come to me, like my family started to come to me mediumistically when I was 40, and they started asking me to give messages to people. And that was hard because there were, most of my family did not want to hear, you know, that Uncle Joe came through me and wanted to hear that he's doing well. But I did promise spirit, which is what I call all of the other side, that I would tell anybody who came to me and gave me a message, I would go out there and tell them. And so I had this incredibly interesting experience one night when I really started to realize I could really do this. There had been a man that was working in the office next to mine just for the summer. And he went back to New York and he died in his apartment. And his parents, who I knew, did not know about it for 3 days. Nobody had visited him or called him because he traveled for work. So I just felt terrible about this. And I went to the funeral, and of course it was just sad as you can possibly imagine. And one night I'm watching Lisa Williams' television show, and he comes into the living room and I can see him. And he asks me to write his mother a letter and tell her that if she watches Lisa Williams, it will help her feel better about his dying. Well, this woman was probably in her late 70s, and she was the wife of one of my bosses, so I did not exactly feel like this was the greatest thing I ever had to do, but I had promised that I would pass this on, so I did it, and I never heard back from her. But what it did for me was to know that I just have to throw myself out there. I can't wait for everybody's approval to be who I am. And so that, I think, was a huge turning point. He did it for me as much as he did it for his mother. So I think, does that answer all of your question about what you wanted to know about the way I approach things?
Yes. Let me get a little bit more specific. When a client comes and sees you, what can they expect? Or if they do, because I know you offer phone readings, what can they expect there too? What are your goals? What can a client expect from a session with you?
Have spiritual readings. And like I said, either a psychic reading or a mediumistic reading. For me, if you're coming for a reading, it's all for a spiritual purpose. The reason I read for you is spiritual. It's for my growth. The reason I'm reading for you is for your spiritual growth. So what I do, let's say a psychic reading, someone comes in and they say, let's say, my boyfriend, I think he's cheating on me. Can you see if that's true? And of course, you know, this is a question that I get. So what I say first is, well, let's look at what is your life lesson. And I have the belief system that everybody comes into life with one major life lesson that repeats over and over and over through your whole life. And psychically, I pick up on that. And I talk a little bit about, well, what I see as your life lesson is either being able to allow people to influence you in a good way, and because of their influence, you do something good, or being able to resist influence. You know, can you resist the bad influence? So I'll say to her, over your whole life, people keep testing you, trying to get you to do something that you don't want to do, or you are trying to get somebody to do something they don't want to do in a negative way. So let's see how your boyfriend cheating on you fits into your life lesson. So let me take a look for a minute about all the circumstances of your boyfriend and you. So then I just visualize through my third eye, and I just watch for a while. I, you know, open up to my spirit guides. I ask them if they have anything that they want to say about this, knowing that I may be popping her balloon. I may be giving her information, you know, that she doesn't want to hear. And still, and yet, that is my service, is that I have to throw myself out there, no matter what, for their growth, you know, to help them understand how can they grow out of this situation. So I'll say to her, well, yes, your boyfriend is cheating on you, and I see that you got some kind of message, like a letter or a text or something that proved to you that he was cheating on you. Yes, I got that text. Yep, I did. That's how I found out, you know, he's cheating with Gloria. I said, okay, so you know for a fact that your boyfriend is cheating on you, and you're having a hard time accepting that. Yep, I am. I can't believe it. It just doesn't make sense. So then I say, okay, well, let's look at this in terms of your life lesson. Your life lesson, all your life, well, no matter what your problem is, let's take it back to the life lesson, which says, I'm open to influences from other people, or I resist influences from other people, and choosing the right time to do each. So is this a time in your life when you want to resist someone's influence, or is this a time in your life when you want to accept their influence? And then I allow my client to think about that. And I said, you know, it's really better if you answer that question for yourself. But I'm happy to give you advice and, you know, what I think. But really, ultimately, the client is responsible for their own spiritual growth. And a problem in our life, whatever it is, always, always points to what we're learning so that we are increasing our vibration toward a higher level. So she's learning about this guy that's going to drag down her vibration unless she resists his influence. And she learns in this setting, I'm going to resist that guy. And because she resists and stands up to him, her nervous system strengthens, and she's able to hold a higher vibration than she was before. And that, for me, is a success. Now, there are going to be a great number of people who want a psychic reading who aren't able to do it the first time. And they'll come back time and again and want, you know, a different answer. And I just say, you know, for a different answer, press 7. There is no different answer. This is up to you how you want to handle it. I'm just the messenger, and that is truly all I am. So that's a psychic reading. A mediumistic reading for people, first of all, proof of life. You want to give, or I want to give, a person who I'm talking to enough information about who's come through. They know absolutely, you know, that that's Aunt Lila, and they're, you know, can't wait to talk to Aunt Lila because they want to hear all about how she feels about, you know, where they put her ashes, because, you know, the person who's come to you has been really, really concerned. When she visited her cousin, the ashes were under a swing set and they weren't treated well. And so, you know, your reader wants to know, well, how does Aunt Lila feel about how her ashes were handled? And I can say to them, she is very hurt. that people didn't treat her with respect. And, you know, it, on a spiritual level, you know, we, when we're spirit, we, that we're just looking at ashes and dirt, but the ceremony, the, you know, acknowledgement of the value of somebody's life, and just to say thank you so much and we love you, to find some place to put those ashes, and then say, Aunt Lila, where do you want to put them? You know, and Aunt Lila says, I would really like them to go in the Hudson River. So, because she lived in New York City. So, to me, you know, there's spiritual growth right there. And also, I have had a lot of spirits come through to say, take that job, you know, work, go back to school. You know, it's always for their, you know, to encourage, to help people to make a hard decision about what they have to do with their life. Would you like?
Go ahead.
Would you like to know more specifics about readings?
That's up to you.
Sometimes people like to know how I prepare.
I think that would be interesting for the listeners to hear, because I don't think a lot of people understand how a psychic prepares for a reading.
So I learned this from Lisa Williams, and also I read it in other places, but she was my teacher. She taught us to right away address the divine. So I sit in a prayerful state, and I say, you know, divine energy, archangels, angels, and I picture this mass of angels. And then I go to ascended masters, the councils of spiritual levels, and then I ask for the spirit guides of the person I'm reading for, my spirit guides. And I specifically ask that if I'm having a hard time tuning in, that they'll keep tuning my vibration to the vibration of the person that is coming through the spirit world. So I pray. Then I work on opening up my chakras, which are part of the external nervous system in our astral etheric bodies. I'm sure pretty much all your listeners are familiar with the chakra system, but it is a subtle nervous system that is not in the material plane. And so there are visualizations that you use to open up your chakras. So the, my favorite one, again, Lisa taught me, is to see a great big flower at each of the places where you have a chakra on your body, the color of that chakra. So let's do the one, your third eye. So everybody, you know, knows where your third eye is. You can just tap it there between your eyebrows up a little bit. And let's imagine that there's a beautiful purple flower, just amazing color. And what you want to imagine is that all of a sudden it starts spinning and spinning and spinning as fast as it can go. And once you get that really spinning and have it go like it's going clockwise, spin it clockwise. And then once that really gets going, imagine that you are actually breathing in and out of it as if there's air going out of it as in a funnel. So the bottom of the funnel is in your third eye, and the rest of it is blowing out like a big tornado, big. And you go through each chakra like that, getting it to spin and blow energy out through each chakra. So after you get your chakras going, that's one of the techniques and methods that I'll talk about in the sandbox. Then you've raised your vibration to a point where you're ready to read. So I always call people right at the moment of the time of our appointment. So if it's at 6, I call right at 6. And I stay on for as long as that person needs me. So I don't do back-to-back appointments. I try to finish within half an hour so that, you know, both of us aren't burned out. And then after a reading, I make notes to myself about what was important to my client, what really seemed to be the sweet spot. And also, now I'm learning to work with my spirit guides to learn how else I, how can I improve what I'm doing? How can I make it better? Because it's always the process. I mean, sometimes, I don't know if you experience this, Courtney, but, you know, some days are just off or no one comes through. You have a person for a reading and just no one comes through. And you just have to say, I'm really sorry, but, you know, I'll have to reschedule with you. And there's other, there was one reading I did where, oh, go ahead. So there was one reading that I did that, it just, I wasn't connecting well with the client. I wasn't connecting well with the spirit. And I just said, you know, this isn't connecting. Why don't we just do it tomorrow? And that worked out fine. So I'm very honest with people about, and sincere about their readings and who I'm talking to. And again, it's just, for me, it's about my growth. And for them, it's just, you know, what can I do to help you? So...
Now, if somebody, let's take a break for a second. If somebody wants to contact you or book a session with you or an appointment with you, how would they go about doing that? Let's give out your contact information.
Okay. I'm going to talk a little bit about my name because my address, my URL is my name. So my name is Cindy with an I at the end. And my last name is Leacock, which is like peacock with an L. So the URL is www.cindyleacock, all one word, and I'll spell it, CindyLeacock.com, cindyleacock.com. And the name of my business is Spirit Messages, and I only do readings. And I do whatever kind of reading you'd like. I'll either do psychic or medium or both. And I usually work in the afternoons, and I have one weekend afternoon that I work.
Awesome. Now, do you book through your website, or do they call you? How would they do that?
So the website is my single point of contact. I do everything through my website because you can send me a message from my website. You can book on my website, get the appointment time on my website. It's really simple. It's all one process. You just click on the website, click book a reading, and it, you know, you can pay automatically and it gives you the time and I will call you right at that time. So the other thing that I would like to give people is the Tumblr blog for the Psychic Sandbox radio show. If I could just talk about the radio show for a moment. All the references, everybody I talk about, all the books I talk about, my teachers, everything that I'm going to present, the techniques, I'll try to go back and figure out who came up with them, what year they came up with them in, like, you know, the Rig Veda came up 5000 BC, these kinds of things. I'll try to have everything there for you so you can go back and study it for yourself about whether or not you want to get involved in a certain technique. So everything is on Tumblr, T-U-M-B-L-R. And when you get put it in the search engine, it's Psychic Sandbox, all one word. Psychic Sandbox, all one word. So you can either visit me to through my website, or you can put something on the blog. Now, I have a Facebook page, but it's not really a business page. It's just a page where I post things for people who are interested in mediumship or grieving. It's just called Spirit Messages on Facebook. So you can, you know, I don't really talk with anybody on the phone. I do all my readings on the computer so that I can send you a recording.
Awesome. Is there anything else that you would like to share with the listeners?
Yes. I noticed that I do my very best readings when my clients have an open mind or when they have some really burning desire. If you come in with an open heart and an open mind and you really want to connect, let's talk about a mediumship reading, especially you may not get the person to come through who you want to come through. You may get somebody that you have completely forgotten about. You didn't even remember them much as a family member, but they came through for you for a reason. And so sometimes people are disappointed in their mediumship reading, and they don't realize that they're coming to you to give you encouragement, or they know about something that you're really going to want to know. Like, you know, Fred came through for this guy I was reading for. He was so excited for this young man. He said, "You have an opportunity to go to community college. You know, I really hope that you'll take advantage of that." You know, it was really, really encouraging, this boy. And I know that he had come to me all troubled about what was his future. And this guy just came through, you know, clear as a bell to him to tell him what to do for him. You know, if he doesn't have to do it, but he gave him an idea about this would be a tremendous opportunity. So you never know who's going to come through, and you don't know why they're coming through. So you have to really enter into your mediumship reading with a really open mind. Now, with a psychic reading, it's not so much that you're not going to know or that you're not going to have an idea about what the conversation is going to be about, but you need to have the attitude of, I am willing to take the high road. And I think that's what spirituality is all about, is that, like Michelle Obama said, when they go low, we go high. And that is the very best attitude you can have in life, because that is frequency, that is vibration, that is character, that is joy. When you go high, it is going to be harder, designed on purpose, because when you go high, you work at it harder, and that builds your nervous system to hold a higher frequency. So when I tell a client in a psychic reading, you know, the direction that would work the best, it's more work. You know, just like doing this radio show, this is, you know, way out of my comfort zone. And yet, you know, this is what I was led to do for my growth. And I really want to do it. I want to really serve the audience. I want them to have fun. I want to give them good readings. I want them to come away feeling really satisfied. And I think that when we decide to do what's the hardest thing, we also get the greatest happiness and the most satisfaction, because everybody who's worked on some project that's been incredibly difficult, I mean, think about the hardest thing you have ever done besides childbirth, if that was one of the things, the second hardest thing. The pride that you feel, how happy you are that you did that, is so awesome. And when we follow our highest self and meet our lessons head on in a really positive way, we are going to be so happy with ourselves until another huge wave knocks us over. And then we have to climb up again and go, okay, now what? What do I do now? Because when you, you know, decide to lead a spiritual life, then life is going to give you more to learn. You know, and those usually come in the way of problems. So that's why I think people go to psychics, is they're able to move through their problems faster. And because they are attuned to growth and to spirituality, they get more problems. So the psychics are able to help them to, you know, make good choices, because they know ahead of time, or about the same time that they're having it, what's going to happen, what needs to happen.
I think that's an awesome perspective.
I'd love to hear a little bit about you, Courtney. You and I have never talked about your psychic work or your mediumship work. You did tell me about the mediumship that you did for the crowd, but I'd be very interested in anything you'd like to share that came to your mind while I was talking.
Your experience is very similar to mine, in that I kind of crashed course through everything.
Yeah.
I started off with tarot because I had such an interest in it growing up. I mean, I knew there was always something different about myself. There was things that I knew that I wasn't supposed to know, and so forth. And I actually saw my first spirit when I was about 4 or 5. It was my grandfather. So I kind of grew up in a traditional religious background of you don't talk about those things and those things don't exist. But the older I got, the more curious I got. And I actually picked up the tarot as my first tool. And I was self-taught within about 3 to 6 months. And then from there, I branched out. I went into, really developing my mediumship and my empathy, and then moved into astrology and numerology and crystal ball and tea leaves, anything I could get my hands on, I wanted to take a look at and kind of study. So I kind of have that background that you do of kind of just looking at things of interest to kind of really evolve and grow, with spirit.
Absolutely. Did you get interested in near-death experiences at any point?
Yes, I did, because I've had two. The first one occurred when I was 17. I went in for emergency gallbladder surgery, and they nicked the main artery in my stomach. They could not find out where the bleeding was coming from. They actually went out and told my parents that I was dying and that I was not going to make it. And I died on the table, and they brought me back. So I've always had a fascination with the other side because of my own experience and what I saw. I had another near-death experience where I was prescribed medication, and I was suppressed. I was young. I was probably maybe, I want to say maybe 18, 19. I was still in my teens, and they prescribed me Tylenol 3s. And with me not thinking anything of it, I took one, and I'm allergic to hydrocodone and codeine. And I went into anaphylactic shock, and I was lucky to wake up.
Wow.
Luckily, my body rejected the medication, and I threw most of it back up. So I got really fortunate with that situation. So I've actually had two near-death experiences in my lifetime. And just in case anybody out there is curious, I am going to be 28 this month. So I am young. Yeah, I am young.
I'm so interested that people who have near-death experiences have 20 qualities about them that really change after they have a near-death experience. They're like, some people even get divorced after them because the other person becomes so spiritual after that. And so, it's a life-transforming experience. And I've been fascinated by them because they kind of inform you as to what do you get, that's not how I want to say it. When you are on the other side, what is that makes the biggest difference when you're here? What is it that you look at when you're on the other side? What's going to really give you that, that edge to help you when you're on the other side to say, oh, that was what I was supposed to do with my life. That is what's the most important thing in life. And I love reading people's experiences because it really helped me to say, oh, when I have my life review, now this is what I'm going to want to see, that I did this or I did this, but I didn't do that, So that's what really drew them to me. And then just the idea that you could communicate with people that have been through that. One thing that has always, really made me curious is, when you die and then you go through that life review, and then, they're off in the world, and then we connect with them, is it your experience is that the spirit has really evolved since their life review, or are they pretty much the same as when they died?
I think that it's kind of a toss-up, and let me explain why. Because there's some spirits who I have pulled, and they have died tragically, or they have died very quickly. And, in one instance, that spirit comes through plain as day. Let me, I need to deliver these messages, and I need to see so-and-so and so forth. And then the next time, that spirit is so confused and doesn't understand and is kind of fighting it. And I think maybe it's almost like a choice, maybe that spirit was more evolved on Earth and now has that evolution and accepts that process once they're dead. And I think maybe other souls are not. They're not as evolved. They didn't learn everything that they needed to. And so they're kind of fighting that evolution on the other side as well. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah, that's a really good way to look at it. I also heard, and you reminded me of this, that there's like different vibrational classrooms, quote unquote, and wherever you are vibrationally, you're attracted to those areas with other people that are learning what you need to learn on the other side. I thought I was fascinated by that. I thought, well, that's not that different than Earth because, you know, if you like going to a bar, you're with people who go to a bar. If you want to go for your master's degree, you're with people that want to go to a master's degree. You know, it's we do that here. We are attracted to situations of people of similar vibrations a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's,
I always tell people that, you know, your loved one may not be here anymore, but trust me, they're on the other side drinking a Corona on a beach, okay? You know, they're evolving, they're going through the process that they need to go through, and they're continuing on, and they're not in any pain, they're not in any suffering, you know, they're kind of living, you know, the high life in a way, you know, they're doing things and accomplishing goals that maybe they weren't able to deal with here on Earth, but that is going to bring them so much peace on the other side. So my analogy is always, yep, they're, trust me, they pulled up with the chair and the popcorn and they're just, you know, kicking back, relaxing, you know, and maybe they're taking a look at you right now, but they're not going to be with you all the time because they have to evolve. They have to go to their classes and the things that they have to do. So I always try to remind people, you know, death is a whole new beginning for souls, but it's not a bad beginning. It's never bad.
No, not at all. I, you know, everything that I've read and what I've experienced, you know, being with spirit, it's been very, very uplifting. You know, that I have not had bad experiences around people dying, though, because my family is Protestant and believed very much in a soul. And so when we would go to funerals, they would say, well, you know, grandpa's gone, the real grandpa, you know, this is just his body. And so that was always part of the belief system in our family. So I didn't have any trouble moving into that understanding that, you know, they were going to go somewhere, you know, definitely positive, definitely. So yeah, that's a wonderful relief. That's just a wonderful relief. I love the way that you have had this really eclectic approach and your own experience.
Yeah, it was just, it was one of those things where I was drawn to it. You know, it was, the best way I can explain it is, you know, when I was about 6 or 7, I went over to my godmother's house, and she had an altar in the other room. Now, I was too young to understand the concept of an altar. Now I'm old enough to definitely know what that is. But she had a very beautiful bag sitting on the altar, and I asked her what was in it, and here she pulls out this beautiful tarot deck. And she's telling me that the cards are, you know, to help people, and that the different cards mean different things and so forth. And I remember being so drawn to those cards and thinking in my head, I want those cards. I want to do that. I want to help people. And it just settled in me, even at that age. And it was always something that was always in the back of my mind. I'm meant to help people. I'm meant to connect. And I know these things because these are the things that are going to help people. And I just allowed that to carry me through every experience I had, even my near-death experience. You know, I came out of that thinking, you know what, I've been putting this off long enough, and I need to start seeking this in a professional matter to impact even more lives. So spirit just works in miraculous ways.
It really, really does. And it's always uplifting. I mean, when spirit touches your life and you know it, and that's what it is, you're uplifted. You feel like your life is worth something, you know, it has a meaning. All this isn't just happening for nothing. And I think that's what's really, really kept me going, you know, and what's happening today, you know, our world is difficult. And I think, well, you know what, this is all happening for a reason, and we won't understand it, but eventually we will. So, you know, my life too, I didn't understand why things were happening to me, but now I sit and I go, oh, wow, I sure had to learn a lot to get through it. But now I can show other people what I did to get through stuff. And, you know, it's really not that hard. It's fun.
So, and it's a beautiful experience.
It is. It really is. It's divine. You know, there's no kidding about that. And I've really been interested in, you know, not, I think of it more as comparative divine systems, because you could come at all these different methods and techniques and ways that people down through time have found to connect with divine energy. And it's just amazing, all the different, you know, indigenous people, you know, people with, you know, very well structured religions, spiritual people, just everybody has their own specific way. And it's, well, you know what's really interesting is that in India, they have what they call Ayurveda. And Ayurveda defines certain types of people. And they have certain types of yoga. So that they have yoga for people who are really intelligent. They have people that will think and be philosophers. And that's their yoga, their way of union with God. And then they have people who are really loving, and they just are empathetic with everybody. And they, you know, raise their vibration with love and, you know, devotion to God. And then they have people that are workers. They work really, really hard. That wherever they are, they're working. And so those people all do their work as service to God. So they acknowledge right at the get-go that you're going to have different personalities who are going to approach getting this divine energy in different ways. And now that we have the internet, there's so many ways, you know, there's, and I'm trying to, in the radio show, parse out what are the ways that we know really work. What has the evidence? That's what I'm always looking for, evidence. We need evidence this really works to raise a person's vibration. And this is a really good spiritual technique or a really good religious, you know, method that works, you know, for people. And you know, who's going to resonate to it? You know, for me, it was mantra. You know, that was a spiritual technique that I received. In a religious technique, it was doing the rosary. I became Catholic when I got older to marry a Catholic, and I found the rosary to be really, really powerful. And mantra, rosary, it's all been, you know, the repetition of the name and the energy of the divine. And so it's interesting that no matter what religion or spiritual group or whatever I'm in, I'm always doing things with my mind. So, you know, my life lesson, my major life lesson is all about communication. So not at all surprising that, you know, working on radio and learning what to say and what not to say and how it's going to help and how it could hurt, all those things are things that I'll be learning as I work on the radio show. So it's hopefully going to strengthen my nervous system. And everybody,
I think you're
going to
do it. I think you're going to do amazingly, and I think you've already done amazingly. We are down to about the last minute of the show, so is there anything else you'd like to leave the listeners with today? And you might want to let them know your website just one more time so that they can book a reading with you.
I just want to sincerely thank every single person that tuned in today. This has been an amazing experience for me, no kidding, and I'm so glad that you were willing to share it with me. My website URL is www.cindileacock.com. And I would love to do a reading for you, and I hope you tune in next week. Bye.